Thanks for joining us this morning, just you and your wireless. This is Sunday Extra on RN until 10. I'm Jonathan Green. Now, you'd think, wouldn't you, that with a female Prime Minister, a female Governor General, you'd think that strides had been made in the feminist cause. Surely women in power is a sign of some sort of feminist triumph, or maybe, maybe not. We've been here before, of course.
To those waiting with bated breath for that favourite media catchphrase, the U-turn, I have only one thing to say. U-turn if you want to. The ladies, not for turning.
Oh, she's good. Margaret Thatcher was tough, powerful, a triumph of will over patronising chauvinistic circumstance, but unturnable. She also said famously that feminism is poison. Never mind that. As she trips into public consciousness again on the back of the recent Meryl Streep biopic, many are drafting her to the feminist cause. Was Mrs. T a feminist? And why does that discussion still resonate? This is what Meryl herself thinks.
I think that she was someone, a woman, who broke ground. I think she rejected the idea that she owed anything to the feminist movement in Britain, and certainly the feminist movement in Britain had no time for her either. She didn't advance women within her own party necessarily, or for any reasons of, you know, a special advancement. But she was a feminist. Whether she likes it or not, because she set about to do what we all feminists want, which is to break through the barriers that exist.
What could be more important than what an actor thinks? Now, if women are in power here or there, does that mean that women's battles have been fought and won? Or as Germaine Greer wrote in The Age yesterday in advance of this week's International Women's Day, is the developed world, to quote Germaine, indulging in a fantasy that its women have achieved equality? Let's talk about it. Sabine Wolfe is a researcher with the Institute of Public Affairs. Monica Dux is a writer, social commentator and author of The Great Feminist Denial. Eva Cox is a public commentator and feminist. Good morning and welcome to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Now, is a figure like Thatcher a model for modern feminism? Is she something of an embodiment of third wave individual empowerment, Sabine?
Look, I'd never sort of seek to apply the feminist label to someone who didn't necessarily want it, but I don't think that we should automatically exclude Margaret Thatcher from being a feminist role model, particularly for young sort of centre-right leaning women. You know, they don't always have a lot of choice in having role models to look up to. So, look, if you're inspired by Margaret Thatcher and that inspires you to go on and break through barriers and get into politics and advance the cause of women, then I don't see what's wrong with claiming her.
I can't imagine her being a poster child for feminism in, say, the mid-60s. What's changed?
I don't think Margaret Thatcher is a feminist or could be called one. I think Margaret Thatcher was a bit of a spectre haunting feminism for the last few decades because of the fact that she wielded all this power and that in many ways she was seen as evil by the women's movement in many ways. She did a lot of terrible things. I think the key with Margaret Thatcher is she didn't actually help other women. And I think in terms of even a role model for conservative feminists, I don't think she's a great one. She broke through barriers for herself and she had a lot of personal ambition. But that's really not what feminism is or has been about.
But isn't that the tone of the times, breaking through as an individual? It's not about collective action anymore?
Well, no. I think in the 90s, if we go back about 15 years, there was this idea that feminism was all about the individual, and feminism really got reduced after the second wave to a sense that it was just girl power and just getting yourself forward, and that was a bit of a mistake. And I think since then there's been a real reappraisal of what feminists are actually about. But, you know, feminism is a really broad church. It's very diverse. There's a lot of different ways of being a feminist. And some feminists are very much concerned about you know, the individual, but that's not all of feminism.
I think part of the problem is that we've actually forgotten what, if you like, the women's movement of the second wave was trying to say. And since I was around at that stage, I've got a very clear memory of it. I think part of the problem is that, you know, that Thatcher and before her, I mean, we had other women leaders, you know, Indira Gandhi, etc. They were very much, look, we've got a woman there. And, I mean, somebody made the comment at the time that, you know, that Thatcher was to the women's movement what Idi Amin was to the black movement. You know, that examples of the fact that that any particular population group can put up, you know, sort of nasty thugs of varying varieties, you know, regardless of whether they are male or female. And I think that that is actually an important lesson we tend to forget. Because for me, feminism in its sort of sense, I agree, it's a broad church, but sometimes I think it gets too broad. I think we've got to be careful we don't just talk about it as being pro-woman. Mm. It's about trying to put on the agenda those sorts of issues which are actually often denigrated because they're about women. It's about changing the cultures. It's about changing the definitions of merit. It's about changing the way things are done within a very macho version. It's about shifting at the moment, and I think this is what happened in the 90s. It's about shifting the idea that we live in an economy and trying to put it back into the fact that we live in a society and it's our relationships that really count, not our trading capacities. So I think there's a lot that we can say about, yes, it's very good to see women in top positions, but if they are not part of trying to change the values, if they are not part of a collective view that we need to put those things that concern women, including low pay and care and nurturing and things, onto the agenda as well as trade and GDP, then as far as I'm concerned, they're not feminists.
What do you make of that, Sabine? Is that a definition you're comfortable with?
Well, I don't think it is, actually, because...
Surprise, surprise. I think Sabina and I would have very different ideas. I find it very odd that anybody from the IPA can call themselves a feminist.
Well, see, I completely disagree, because you're excluding an entire class of women who don't conform to your sort of political beliefs, but...
They're very broad beliefs, yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they can't approach feminism through their own political ideas and
aspirations. Well, what's your version of a feminist? What do you mean by feminism?
I think as long as you're out there advancing the cause of women and...
But what's the cause of women?
Equality and...
Equality on male terms only? This is the point I'm trying to make. I think what we want is equality. I mean, we did have a slogan at one stage which said any woman who wants to be the equal to men has a low level of ambition. And I want to revive that because I think that we want to change society, not just play it according to the male rules.
I don't think, I'm just going back to Thatcher, I don't think Thatcher was advancing the cause of women. I think we should be very clear about that. Thatcher didn't help other women in the party. She was actually notorious for not helping other women get forward, you know, move forward in politics. She didn't bring in anything that really helped women at all. In fact, there were many things she did which were counter to, you know, to helping women. And I think what we tend to do is equate, it's a misapprehension to equate wielding power and personal power and personal ambition as somehow something feminist, which it's not. Mm.
But I don't think you can discount the fact that there are women out there who do have personal ambition and sort of don't conform to that idea of a traditional sort of soft left feminist, and I don't see why we need to discount libertarian women who would like to see, you know, just the entire debate disappear. I mean, why are we still talking in this day and age about a politician's gender? I personally would like to see us get to a stage where that's not an issue, where we can talk about a female
probably
politician.
Agree with it.
Yeah,
but
I think
don't assume that, you know, for instance, I would call myself libertarian on a whole lot of issues, so don't jump to the conclusion that this is a soft left position.
What is
a soft
left?
I think there are women on the right, there are women on the right and women on the left who want to change the way that the priorities are set, and that's what feminism is about. It's about actually recognising, nurturing care, recognising relationships, recognising emotions. These are not left-right issues, But the point is, at the moment, if you take an economic view, none of those things actually count because you can't measure them in any simple way and you can't trade them. So this is the problem. We have been caught up in the back of the neoliberal stuff on an individualist thing. And we think that the solution to the women's issue is to get lots of women into playing the game according to men. So the women that succeed are the women that don't have young children, the women that do have supportive husbands or don't have them at all. That's not feminism.
But I'm sorry, you're saying that that nurturing and is a specifically female trait, but you're excluding all those women who don't feel that.
No, I'm not saying nurturing is a particular female trait. I'm saying nurturing is ascribed to being female and therefore it is undervalued. That's very different, and that's what I think a lot of people don't understand, that we need to respect the people who nurture and we need to respect nurturing as much as we do sort of, you know, to the death type battles about money.
Now the issues yeah, around feminism are as live as ever. I mean, in this Oscar season, we've got the Street Thatcher film. We've also got another film awarded, which is a documentary looking at acid violence in Pakistan of men throwing acid in the faces of women whose conduct they disapprove. And in the United States, we have this in the last couple of days from Rush Limbaugh in response to a woman arguing in Congress in favour of contraception being placed as part of healthcare.
What does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex.
That's public debate. US style, admittedly, at the
going
fringe.
Back on that. I mean, you know, those sorts of things would not have happened about 10 or 15 years ago. And I think one of the really serious things that feminists need to think, or those people that are interested in feminism need to think, is that attitudes are sliding backwards in many ways, that we've got a seriously conservative, not libertarian, a seriously large-C conservative view about the role of women creeping back in. And the fact that we have more women in top positions doesn't seem to be countering that. So that's what we need to do.
Monica, you agree there?
Yeah, I think this is part of the danger of having women in powerful positions. And you see when Gillard got in and there was this sense of, well, we've made it now. And I think often when you look at, I mean, we have to be very clear that we still have very low representation of women in our federal parliament and we haven't quite made it. But having a woman prime minister, I think we've got 10 heads of state in Australia are women, doesn't actually mean you've made it. There's so many other issues. And I think this is what happened with Thatcher a bit, this idea that if you have this person in power, and this was used against feminists, well, then you've got nothing to worry about, obviously, if you, you know. And so the fact we have a female prime minister does not mean that there aren't so many other issues in so many different ways, in so many different contexts. But what often happens is it all gets reduced to this idea, well, what are we worrying about? And when you hear a comment like that, you know, about sluts and contraception.
There's clearly much to worry about.
There is. I think this also means that we have to be vigilant. I think this idea that we made it and that feminism somehow packed up and went away in 1984 maybe and that we don't have anything to worry about is a really dangerous way
to think. We've also got to recognise that despite the fact we have a female prime minister and a female minister for welfare, we're actually persecuting a whole lot of sole parents in a way that we haven't done before by putting them onto very, very low payment levels and the assumption that they're all going to go off to work. And nobody's noticing that. So, I mean, not having a lot of women actually running things doesn't necessarily mean that they actually are more aware of the fact of the particular problems of some very low-income women.
There's much more we could talk about there, I'm afraid. The news is against us, so I must thank you three, Sabine Wolfe, Monica Dux and Eva Cox. It's 2 minutes away from 9 o'clock. Sunday Extra on Radio National. Just a reminder, at 11 this morning, we'll be long gone, but you'll be able to tune into Common Knowledge. And they'll be shoving popular culture into their bespoke Borghesian food processor. And don't forget to check out Future Tense a bit later at 11:30. And right after the 9 o'clock news, our not often underrated Outsiders segment this week takes over much of that hour. Plenty on the agenda. Murdoch media missteps, car crash to car rumba. It's all happening last week in politics. Outsiders after 9.